Tuberculosis is declining in the United States, but within certain immigrant populations, it's making a comeback. Nearly half the cases of tuberculosis in the U.S. involve foreign-born people, but along the southwest border, an innovative project is helping to cure TB among Mexican migrants. NPR's John Burnett reports.
It's 2:30 in the afternoon, April 3rd. A call has just come in to the State Health Department's El Paso office that's about to ruin everyone's day.
We've gotten the story that this man had come from California. He's 68 years old, and he's got some dementia, perhaps Alzheimer's disease. And he was started on multi-drug therapy, including streptomycin, PZA.
It's a public health nightmare. According to these nurses with the New Mexico Health Department, this patient is in the advanced stage of pulmonary tuberculosis. He has holes in his lungs. He's on the move, and nobody knows where he is right now.
He was in Las Cruces at his son's house, but we feel like he's back in El Paso.
Dr. Miguel Escobedo, director of the West Texas region for the Texas Department of Health, is frowning as he scribbles notes on a yellow pad.
So if he's been issued a protective custody order, I think it's logical to assume that he's violated that. The next step might be to consult the city attorney's office and to possibly issue quarantine procedures.
This patient is unusual. El Paso TB control officials generally get only one or two cases a year serious enough to require quarantine. But Escobedo says the man's rootlessness is a good example of TB on the border.
A patient like this who has lapsed in treatment, who keeps going in and out of hospitals, develops drug-resistant TB. He goes to New Mexico. He comes to El Paso. He may even go to Mexico. He may have been in Dallas. So, you know, we really need to get a hold of him and make sure that he completes his treatment, because otherwise he spreads the TB, not just the TB, but if it's drug-resistant, he could potentially spread that.
Pulmonary tuberculosis is a contagious disease spread through coughing and sneezing. In the 1980s, the numbers of TB deaths in the U.S. started climbing because of the spread of homelessness and HIV. After an aggressive anti-TB campaign, the numbers of U.S.-born persons with TB have fallen steadily for the last 8 years. But the disease has been resurging among migrants from developing countries, such as Vietnam, the Philippines, and Mexico, where TB is 4 times more prevalent than in the U.S. Dr. Kenneth Castro, head of National TB Prevention at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, says the nation has become somewhat complacent toward the spread of tuberculosis.
Just like there came a time with smallpox and polio where we had to direct our efforts globally, we find that we must do the same to eliminate the threat of tuberculosis in the United States now.
The CDC has for a decade funded small binational TB treatment centers in several Mexican border cities that handle the toughest cases. The dusty brown Ford van clattering through Ciudad Juarez on this weekday morning is the result of that idea. Under the Juntos program, that's Spanish for together, the Chihuahua State Health Department, the Texas Department of Health, and the CDC share the cost for an office, physicians, nurses, a driver, medicine, and lab support. The key to the success of Juntos is a procedure used around the world called directly observed therapy. Nurses go to patients' homes and watch them take the medicine. Dr. Fernando Gonzalez, a Juarez physician who oversees Juntos, is riding in the van on its morning rounds.
Tuberculosis sometimes is very, very difficult to treat, because when you start treatment at the second or third month of treatment, you're feeling okay. You're getting well. And in that time is when patients abandon treatment and get lost. Okay, so if we don't visit them, we are sure that they are not going to take the medications.
So they visit patients like Felipe Martinez.
¿Qué pasa, Felipe?
The 48-year-old factory worker stands in his tiny kitchen, grimly swallowing the 10 daily pills that are helping him defeat the TB bug. Felipe's case is not uncommon in Juarez. After he was diagnosed with normal tuberculosis, he started conventional anti-TB medicine at a local hospital. But because of his drinking, poor diet, and casual approach to his drug therapy, he acquired multi-drug-resistant TB. Now the treatment is more complicated. He must take his medicine for at least 18 months, and it has serious side effects. One pill can make patients permanently deaf. Another can temporarily darken their skin.
Me puso moreno. Estaba así normal como ella, pero me puso moreno.
Felipe holds up a muscular coffee-brown arm. The pills turned me brown. I used to be like her, he says, gesturing to his portly, light-skinned wife, who's at the stove cooking beef and onions for his lunch. Public health authorities are alarmed by the growth in the number of TB cases like Felipe's that are resistant to conventional drug therapy. The CDC reports that Mexican-born TB patients in the four U.S. border states are twice as likely as U.S.-born patients to be drug-resistant. Drug-resistant TB is much harder to cure, says Dr. Lawrence Nicky, a longtime respected El Paso border health advocate.
For example, you can take an uncomplicated case of tuberculosis and treat them for 6 months to a year for maybe $2,000. But the cost of a multi-drug resistant case of tuberculosis, where you have to use second-line drugs and lots of other issues that go with it, surgery and many other things, you're talking maybe $100,000 to $300,000. That's if they live.
People who live in the interior of the U.S. might ask why they should care about sick blue-collar workers in a gritty Mexican border city. Answer, those workers might be shopping in your neighborhood supermarket. Public health authorities are finding TB clusters wherever there are sizable populations of mobile Mexican immigrants, such as Houston, Chicago, New York, and Seattle. Felipe is a case in point. Dr. Gonzalez points out that at a time when Felipe was highly infectious and coughing blood, he worked on a crowded factory floor in Juarez and traveled into Central Texas.
He was transporting himself in public transportation, not only in the U.S., but from Gomez Palacio, Durango, which is a central state in Mexico, to Juarez, which is a border, to El Paso, which is a border city, to Austin in a public bus with maybe 30 or 40 more persons.
People who live far from El Paso need to understand that the U.S.-Mexico border is less a barrier than a bridge, says Dr. Nicky.
This is the busiest border in the world. With that kind of transmigration across a border, you don't keep tuberculosis in one place and chickenpox in the other place. It just doesn't work that way.
But he cautions that Americans should not blame Mexico for cross-border infectious diseases.
That's not really fair. This is a two-way street, and it goes both ways. If we talk about tuberculosis coming from the south, we can also talk about HIV coming from the north.
The CDC has just finished its first evaluation of Juntos and the other seven border TB programs. Its conclusion? After 10 years, the pilot projects should be expanded and mainstreamed, though there's currently no funding to do so. Meanwhile, public health workers in four cities in two states have been alerted to be on the lookout for the 68-year-old infectious TB patient described at the beginning of this report. 2 weeks later, he still hasn't turned up. John Burnett, NPR News, El Paso.